Now, I also know that in the White House, they have cameras everywhere. I know guys who work for the security in those places. Remember, I used to work for these people, you know, oddly enough, except that they finally got my message. You cannot give me security clearance because I tell everybody everything. For example, and they hated that because they would say, now, you realize this is all classified. And I go, really? I said, I looked in the newspaper. I couldn't find it. So I put it in there so it would be in the classifieds. They told me it was classified. Big party at the secret missile base, map included. Gee, they don't want to hire me anymore. Just, I wonder what that's about. But so I tried. Here I'd go to groups, and I'd go in, and I'd sit there, and they'd start doing things. And I have to admit that I found some of them to be so ludicrous, I couldn't believe it. So I had trouble not laughing, and I tried to be polite and not laugh. But I kept having, suddenly, somebody would turn around and signal me out. And they'd go, you're closed to new ideas. And I go, I beg your pardon? And they go, your arms and legs are crossed. You know, and I'd go, I'm closed to new ideas. I said, I didn't know the ideas went in that hole. Gee, and I've been putting them in the wrong place, you know? I don't know about you guys, but do you find stuff like that to be just as stupid could be? That and the buffer for every person who's, as I say, the rapist, people who are in the rapey business, like to look at people and say, and how do you feel about that? You know what that means? Translated, that means I have no fucking idea what to do. That's exactly what it means. Because then you go, well, I feel pretty pissed off about it. And they go, well, how do you feel about feeling pissed off? And I go, well, I feel angry. And they go, say it louder. I'm angry. And they go, put yourself in that chair. And I go, yeah. And they go, now, hit yourself. They go, no, 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 get really angry. Hit him. And I go, bam, and hit the therapist. And I have to admit, I felt better. But after I'd done that 4 or 5 times, you'd think they'd get the message. But no, they're constantly explaining to me, you see, what you do is you see yourself over in the chair. And I'd go, you want me to hallucinate? And they go, no. I want you to see yourself over in the chair. So I'd go and sit in a chair, and they go, no! Now see yourself in this chair. Well, if you weren't fucking crazy, you would be after this. You know, like this. In the mental hospital, Virginia Satir leans over to me and goes, Richard, can you tell the staff from the patients? She's doing a great big group event with all of these people. And I said, yeah, I can, Virginia. It's really easy because the staff has zippers. The patients, they're all ripped out from industrial washing machines. Their buttons are gone and their zippers are gone, right? And they, but other than that, I think the only real difference is the patients can get well and go home. I asked a group of people one time what the difference between a psychiatrist and a schizophrenic was, and this woman went, I know, I know. The patient can get well and go home. And I found out she's right. That to me, that if you have a crazy idea, think about it. Sick man Freud. You guys heard of him? He's the father figure of modern psychology. So they tell me that I don't understand sick man Freud. And I went, who? And they went, sick man Freud. And they said, go out. So I read this guy's books. Excuse me, but I don't know about you guys. I think Hustler magazine's more on track than that stuff. All right, let's take some of these concepts. Penis envy? You girls really sit around and go, ooh, I would think it would depend upon the penis, wouldn't it? Now, there's going to be some cases where people go, ooh, and somewhere they go, oh. And somewhere they go, ugh. But penis envy, excuse me, and that stuff about wanting to fuck your mother, excuse me, I find that stuff sick. Even animals know better than that, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, in tribal things, in native lands, on islands, cut off from all the populations of the earth, they had taboos against that. And sick man Freud, well, you know, he was up in the hills in Austria, you know, just him and his pigs, I guess. And suddenly he comes up with these concepts, and now we're still using it. Let me make it clear. We have tried insight therapy for 100 years. If you understand, then you will change. Excuse me, they all understand, and they're still as fucked up, if not even more, right? They couldn't do anything about people smoking, but hypnotists have been helping people since the beginning of time to change habits. This dates back to the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. I mean, they were doing this stuff in China, you know, 30,000 years before they had writing in Western culture, right? So it's not like it really doesn't have a history. With me, all I did was the simplest thing. Whenever I had the feeling that I wanted a cigarette, I turned the feeling way up, every little bit of it, till it made me quiver. Then I didn't want to spoil it. It just felt good. So when people light up cigarettes, I go, ooh. I don't have to become one of those pricks that goes, I'm allergic to smoke. Could you go outside and stand in the rain? Because after all, I don't want my system to be able to cope with anything, right? I want to be able to make sure that that homeostatic system that builds up a tolerance of things doesn't get a chance to be exposed to anything. So later in life, I can be a bubble baby. See, to me, when I was just trying to help them, when people would say, it really bothers me when you smoke, I would light up every cigarette in the pack and put it in ashtrays. And I'd go, don't tell me what bothers you, because I'll make sure you're not lying. Okay, babe, honey, sweetie. Okay, little missy, if that's what you girls want to believe. You should have seen them go nuts. And then when I explained freedom, isn't that? Freedom is where you make it so that when they go to say the word, suddenly they feel bad. And I said, now you guys think you do that by bitching and moaning, but it's not right. You got to get it ahead of time. What you do is you just walk up to some nice guy who's standing there, and you know you're going to talk to him, and you know basically he's probably going to be some kind of a sexist pig. So what you do is you walk up to him, and you smile at him, and you go, ah! And then you go, oop, and anchor it. And then when he goes, well, sweetie, you go, ah! Like that, and they go, ah! After a while, well, you know, dogs can do it pretty quick. You ring a tuning fork when they're salivating, right? And pretty soon you can ring the tuning fork, and they salivate. Of course, I don't know what you put on your job application when your dog's job was to count dog slobber. Oh, you were a research assistant. Oh, whenever people say, well, I'm a research assistant, I said, oh, you're a slobber counter. Now, here's the good part. When they kept ringing the tuning fork without the food, the dog started snapping at the tuning fork. I.e., the dog was, and the researchers were going, and we don't understand this behavior. The dog was hungry. Oh, why do you cross your arms and legs? Well, because it feels good, usually. And many times when you're in a situation with people making total asses of themselves, right, your mind may wander and you may cross your arms and legs and say inside your head, what a crock of shit, right? And when I explained this to the guy, well, no, I wasn't closed to new ideas. I had listened to them and I just thought they were a crock of shit. And if you really look at my nonverbal behavior, for example, how many is this? And I like it. They go, one. And I go, no, it's not. It's five, right? It's just one sticks out further than the others. And they go, can you tell me the feeling behind that statement? And I said, yes, I feel you're an idiot. And they go, now we know that this is a classic case of projection. No, it's a classic case of perception. See, sick man Freud, by the way, is dead. Okay? I went to where his grave is and pissed on it. Okay, now, we don't continue to use square wheels. Okay? put the guy with the concepts and the theories out there. What we're going to do in here is all a lie, and it's all based on this weird idea that feeling good is good. But you know what? People don't feel good, because Virginia taught me one thing that was more important than anything I learned from Milton or any of the rest of them. People are so afraid of the unfamiliar that they will kill themselves rather than face the unknown. And that's because after a while, people learn to be afraid so well. Think of it. In the course of just the past month, every single day from the time you were conscious, sort of, till the time you went to sleep, how much time during the course of that day did you feel exquisite versus bad? If you put them on a scale, does it even come out remotely equal? Okay, I'm pissed off about it. You have practiced feeling bad for so long. When you go to therapy, what do? They teach you to practice feeling bad even more. You don't need to relive fucking traumas. You already did it. And most of you are reliving them already anyway. Women come to me who were brutally kidnapped and raped. And what do the police want me to do? They want me to take them back and have them relive it. And I go, what? Being raped once wasn't enough? I was here in Chicago one time, and there was two women who were raped and dragged off. And one of them was hebephrenic, just, you know, babbling unconsciously. Nobody could talk to her, writhing around. So what did they do? Strapped her down. Like, think about it. That's probably an anchor, you know. They didn't tie her up or anything, maybe. She had rope burns all over. So she wouldn't hurt herself. They tied her up again. And they couldn't get anything out of her. The other one had complete amnesia. No memory whatsoever of anything that happened. She had scars and bruises, so she knew something happened, but she couldn't remember any of it. And they said, can you hypnotize her and remove this amnesia so we can catch these brutes? We want her to be able to recover every detail so that we can get sketches. And I said, well, if I remove the amnesia, then you'll have two tables with people on them. And they said, well, it's important that we catch these guys. And I said, yeah, but it's not important that they remember anything at all. It's only important that they go into a trance. And I took one arm and I gave him a piece of paper and I said, now I want your arm to put any details, license plate numbers, descriptions, drawing, anything you can do. And I want your head not to be able to turn that way. And I want the rest of you to tell me about the best movie you ever saw. This woman not only drew out one picture, she drew pictures of three faces and a license plate number and a house address. Pretty good, huh? Because they thought they were dead. They thought they killed them, you know, and they didn't realize that these guys might have been good rapists, but they were lousy murderers. They didn't get either one of them to be dead, but, you know, as it would be. And then, so she gave them the details. They managed to arrest the people, but then they were concerned that they had no one to testify. I got news for you. My belief system says when they went there, they probably should have found them resisting arrest. Would have saved a lot of trouble, but if they have to go through the trial, I would think that a description of what they saw happened, if somebody, like, gives you an address and a license plate number and draws faces and you bring in people who just happen to look like that from that address, that's probably enough to get a conviction, I would think. But I really didn't see any reason why it was worth for the person going back and doing it. I had too many clients who had been kidnapped. I had guys from the Vietnam War that were taken tortured for years in prisoners of war camp. And, you know, they had been going to groups where they would have them go back and relive these experiences. Excuse me, but I find that just really fucked. I mean, it's not like you haven't had enough bad experiences in your life. You need to practice feeling bad. How about couples? We get them together. What do they do in couples? They have them get together, look at each other, and think of all the shitty things they can. And beat each other over the head with styrofoam clubs. They really do this kind of stuff, right? And they have them sit down, look at each other, think of what makes them feel bad, and anchor it to their expressions. This isn't what people need. What people need is to be able to go into the same kind of state that put them in a position where they decided they wanted to see the other person naked, where they fell in love, where no matter what the person did, they could do no wrong. You know, after a few years, they can figure out everything that's wrong. A person scrapes their toes and... And this isn't about anything. This is about the fact that it's not that humans don't learn, it's they learn too quickly. They learn everything. Look at the shit. How many people are out there sounding out words as we speak? Right? And then they're misspelled and they go, well, you can't misspell words. They'll think you're stupid. So they take their word processor and hit the spell thing. And then they still don't know which word is the right word. Right? I know. I do it all the time. You know, they tells me the word's wrong and I look at it and I think it's right. It should be. I made it up. It's one of the nice things about making up a field. You can't be wrong. I recommend you all do the same. I know there are some people that don't have that kind of creativity, so now they started doing things like taking, because I made up neurolinguistic programming so I could do whatever the fuck I wanted. And if you use it that way, I give it to you, right? As a matter of fact, I'm going to anoint you all co-founders of the field. You're now co-founders. After all, there's lots of people I never heard of that are. You might as well be too. If we're all co-founders, then maybe I won't be so surprised when I get all this literature in the mail, you know? And co-developers, you know, I mean, how come all these people did things with me and I can't remember them? I know my memory isn't that good, but usually I can remember people when I did something, you know. I mean, I got a thing with a picture of a guy and a description of how he had worked with me for years. And I thought, well, gosh, since we're old friends, I should go see him. What better place than the APA convention, don't you think? So I walked in, and I'm not being a member because I'm not a psychologist, and I'm not a psychotherapist. Hey, I didn't make up the name. I just pronounce it. So I walked up, and I looked on the table, and there was a woman there, a nice woman, and she said, are you here for the convention? And I said, yes. I said, you know, you've got a little something on your tooth. And she turned around and took her thing out, and I went, poof, and took a name tag, stuck it on, and walked in. And when I walked in, I looked down, and the name was Louise. Louise Parker. What do I know? You know, I didn't put a picture on my books for 20 years because it allowed me to have a lot of fun. I wasn't interested in notoriety. I was interested in revenge. So, well, I was there, and this guy got up and began to talk about NLP. And, gee, I what could be the word I would use? Wrong. That would be the word I would use. You know, I mean, to me, his description of what it is that I did and how I had done it with him, well, gosh, I had amnesia for that. So I started asking questions. And believe me, I know the questions to ask. I've always been good. The whole meta model is nothing but really asshole questions, you know. By the way, the meta model, if you're going to use it, is an information gathering tool. You must, if you want to not be, see, when I did the model in the Structured Magic, that is a model of what therapists do. That's why the transcripts have no end. Okay? That's not the way I use it. Turn it upside down, and it's very powerful. Always start with the biggest chunk. When people came in and said, I'm depressed, I did not go, what are you depressed about? And if somebody taught you to do that, the word that pops into my mind is refund. Because who gives a fuck what they're depressed about? And then you don't go, and how does this depress you? Because then you just have a model of how to depress others. Which really isn't that useful. Most people are pretty much depressed anyway. What you need to know is I would always go, I would look at them and I'd go, how do you know that? I challenge the thing about they're reading a mind. If they're reading their own mind, I still want to know how. And they go, they always look at me and they go, I'm sorry? And I go, well, you don't have to be sorry, but, you know, so how do you know you're depressed? Maybe you're happy. And they go, I don't think so. And I go, well, are you sure? And they go, yeah. And I go, are you sure enough to be unsure? And they go, as a matter of fact, I am. And I go, good. And I go, so you're certain that you have doubt? See, this is what it all boils down to, is bad decisions. People always tell me with absolute certainty that they don't trust themselves. Or they tell me that they've decided absolutely that they can't make good decisions. And you know what? It's cool because it's impossible for anyone to tell you anything that's a generalization about themselves that will not destroy itself, including that one. It's just language, and language ain't experience. Although you can use it to create experience. Here's the jux. Why don't people be happier more of the time? Because they don't know how. Once you get started on this, you'll get carried away, and that's cool. right? But it won't turn out making you, you know, somebody on their fucking hands and knees coming from across the room on a blue dress, nor smoking a cigar that's been up a place where God knows what else has been up there. I don't even want to think about that. Right? I mean, to me, somebody said, gee, have you noticed that the sales of cigars have gone way up? And I went, excuse me, I can't even look at a cigar anymore. Cigarettes, they make me feel good, but the thought of presidents in the Oval Office with all those cameras in there, where was Hillary? Up there in the booth, you know, filming, you know? What's going on in the Oval Office? To me, and these people have nuclear weapons. Excuse me, think about the Boris the drunk has nuclear weapons, and Clinton, it's a good thing that nuking a country isn't a good way to get a date, huh? Well, if we nuke them, then we can go out with their daughters. Oh, but they'll all be dead. Well, that won't work. Get Ken Starr to go over and everyone will leave. Or what's that guy, Jerry Falwell? But I love guys like that. And I watch those religious channels and I call in. What exactly is sodomy? Have it ever occurred to you that Pat Buchanan is a little too concerned about what gay people are doing in the privacy of their own home? What exactly? Because I saw him, he would do a shit fit, and he said, I know those people are there, because he called San Francisco the new Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever it was, and everybody in town went, yeah! And he just got on TV and he said, I know they're out there, they're doing things they shouldn't do, and the whole time he's making pictures. And I thought, gee, Pat, why don't you stop making pictures of people butt-fucking each other and it won't bother you so much? You know, if you don't like what's on TV, change the fucking channel, okay? But I have a feeling that he's a little too concerned about this. Is it that he is perhaps jealous? And this concept of selling butts, too, I have trouble with that one. People tell me, I'm a celibate. And I go, not selling my butt, boy, I'll tell you. That somebody goes, since we don't know anything about sex, people can come and tell us about it. Excuse me, but I mean that thing about going in and confessing and then you're forgiven. Well, I got news for you. God may forgive you, but I'm not going to. To me, I don't want to be forgiven. I want to do better. See, when people tell me, well, I'm really sorry, I go, fuck you. Just do better. Don't tell me so I have to make you feel better. I don't forgive people. I do weird things to them. And their unconscious agrees with me and carries them out. Right? It's that thing where they go, what am I doing here? What country is this anyway? Why did I just walk into the south side of Chicago and yell nigger 5 times? And what happened to my priest's outfit? Why am I in a chiffon dress? Oh no, there's a tattoo of a bullseye on my ass. What could that mean? I'm afraid I don't like people like Pat Buchanan because they go around telling people how to feel bad more, and I think you all feel bad enough. And so I have only 2 words for you. Stop it. That's what I tell my clients when they come in and they go, I feel really bad. I go, stop it. Because then I go, okay, how do you know you're depressed? And people go, all right. And I go, now, next time, don't make the pictures. How many of you talk to yourself in bad tonality? Make yourself feel bad all by yourself. Get up in the morning and go, you know, I'm too ugly, you know, my nose is too big, my tits are too small, my penis is too small, you know, my ears are too long, you know, I'm too short, too tall, I shouldn't wear glasses, you know, I need to get my nose cut. These people in Hollywood, by the way, I got news for you when you go, because I every year do a month-long seminar in Hollywood. Well, actually, it's a series of them, but I'm there in Hollywood, and I got news for you. You see these people on TV, they look pretty good, but you see them in person, and it looks like their face was done by Sherman and Williams. You know, I mean, they look horrible. It's like, hi, my name is Lizard. And I got news for you. The way to be more beautiful is not to cut your face off, right, and sew it on tighter. It's to feel better. To me, this is the secret behind, see, if you start. And it all, for me, started one day. I was sitting and I was listening to a bunch of people whine in a therapy seminar. And I finally had enough. So I pulled out a gun. It wasn't a real gun, okay? It was just a cigarette lighter. Somebody had given it to me on the way there. But it's, somebody said, well, the only thing that's ever going to make me so I feel differently is if somebody puts a gun to my head. And I went, okay, Lord, you set it up. I'm going to do it. So I walked out and I went like this. And of course, they have their hallucinations about what kind of guy I am. And the guy went, oh! And I said, feel good right now or you're dead. And he went. I got news for you. Phobias of water. I found this out a long time ago. Somebody brought me a group of kids that were terrified of water. And they said, you know, can you find out how this started? And I said, who gives a fuck how it started? I said, here. And I gave each of them a pair of flippers, right? And I took them out into my pool, one by one. I'd take them out in the pool, right? And they had their flippers. They could kick, and they thought, this is cool. And as I pull them out, and they go, not in the deep end, not in the deep end. And they'd start to get freaky. And I said, relax, or I'll drown your ass. And they'd start to get tense. And I put my hand on top, and I said, total relaxation. And they go. And I said, now kick. And every day when they'd come, I'd cut an inch off the flippers. And pretty soon they took them off because they were interfering with their swimming. But the thing is they were in what I call a double bind. It's like the person in that book, The Structured Magic. I love this woman. Her name was Phyllis. She came in crying, oh, I'm just a doormat. Everybody makes me do everything because I can't say no. And I said, say no to me. And she went, no way. And after she said it, she went, well, she said no to her daddy one time, that she wouldn't stay with them. And when she left, when they came back, he was laying dead next to the thing with his hand 2 inches from the telephone. And so she had blamed herself. She told me all of this. And I said, I don't even believe that. I said, that sounds like a bunch of therapy stuff to me. So I put her in a deep trance. And I like to take people and I cross their hands over like this, sit up finger signals. And I told her, I wanted her conscious mind to get the fuck out of here because I don't like it. And I wanted her unconscious mind to answer me with signals without her knowing. And I said, number one, I want to know, is there any truth to this story? No. I said, did this come out of too much therapy? Yes. I get this all the time. Therapists induce trauma. People can make up anything. Why not have them make up good stuff? Like starting today and from every day forward, you're going to spend twice as much time feeling exquisite. And people go, but I don't know how to feel exquisite. Because when I was little, you know, I had low self-esteem. What the fuck is that? How do you know when you're steaming? Is it just before you flush? But yet you guys have looked at people with a straight face and said, well, this is just a problem with low self-esteem. Or better yet, a low self-image. Bong. What the hell is that? Do you have one on a little temperature thing in your head going up and down? What the fuck is that? See, to me, I want you to have useful stuff. Design human engineering started because years ago, I went and saw a hypnotist named Leslie LeCron. And good hypnotist, not like Milton, does direct hypnosis. Somebody came in his office, he hypnotized them, put them in a deep trance, made it so they had no fucking feeling in their teeth, sent them across the street, and they had 3 wisdom teeth yanked out. Now, I know because I've had enough teeth yanked out to know this had to hurt. And this guy came back over. He had no anesthetic, no nothing. Came back over, and he didn't even bleed because he was told not to. And he came back over, sat down in the chair. Leslie put him in, took him out of a trance, removed the hypnotic suggestions, and the guy screamed. Bloody fucking murder. I mean, and I thought, gee, he should have like left it that way for a little longer. And he said to me, he said, well, it would have worn off anyway. Wrote him a prescription. And that's fine with me. I personally don't know why in this country we have such we're so drug paranoid now, like drugs are the problem. You know, it's not drugs that are a problem. The drugs became a problem when we made people outlaws. At one time, somebody wanted to change it, and it all had to do with making money. And the money was about paper. It wasn't about anything else. The guys that wanted to harvest our national forest, and since paper was made from hemp, from marijuana, a recyclable, renewable thing. Also, by the way, when you buy old books, have you ever noticed the paper is nicer and it lasts forever? Hemp paper is really good. Paper made from trees and pulp is shit. But here were all these national forests, and these guys could go in and mill all this stuff, make billions and billions of dollars. So they paid off congressmen, and they made it so that marijuana was made illegal. See how many people used to smoke grass? Guys like Thomas Jefferson. They called them hopheads. Yeah, they were getting high. Where do you think this idea of the Bill of Rights came from? I know they can't stand the notion, like the idea of privacy, but I'll tell you, Linda Tripp should be in prison, and I'm pissed off she's not. She violated that woman's constitutional rights. And the fact that they played these tapes violated everybody's rights. And guess who's going to be next? You. And if you don't start writing letters, pretty soon you're going to be sitting in the courtroom listening to something that was said in your bedroom, right? And you know that in some states it's still illegal to engage in certain acts that I enjoy. And what I do with my wife is between my wife and me. And it's nobody else's business. And I'll tell you, I don't believe in anything. If somebody comes snooping around, then I think they deserve to be punished. You eavesdrop in my house, and guess what? Milton may come back from the grave. Who is that voice?
Is that you, Richard?
Milton.
Yes.
There's somebody listening on the phone.
Okay. Listen very closely before the pain starts.
Do you hear a ringing in your ear? That's what happens just before. Because if you're going to act impotent, I think you should be impotent, don't you? Every time you say that, usually in the afternoon, somebody comes up and goes, I have a new problem. I guess my unconscious hates me. Well, then you must be kind to others, including yourself. And kindness starts this way. Look, every single one of you in here, it's got two things that I think if we redesign, everything will be easy. For example, where's the sound guy? Okay, remember you were going to be ready? You got that thing ready? Okay, be ready. Okay, now, you guys, numerous times in the course of a day, go into the bathroom, right? Unzip your pants. Okay, now, people are constantly coming up going, I need a private session. Okay, you don't need a private session because, you know, I already know what it is. If you need a private session, it can only be two things. Or, you know, okay? That's it. Right? It's a number one or a number two, right? Now, let's get this straight, shall we? Okay. In order for your biology to generate the right things, to begin with, you must learn the only mantra that I have ever known that makes sense. I have done the meditation. I went to India. I climbed up the mountains. I talked to the gurus, and I'm not a patient man, let me tell you. He told me, for 20 years, if you follow me and become a devotee, you can learn these secrets. And I grabbed a hold of the motherfucker and held him off the cliff. And I said, now, could we do it a little quicker because my hand's getting tired? And you know, they can tell you those secrets like one right after the other. And I said, thank you very much. I just have a low tolerance for bullshit. That's all there is. But I, after learning all these mantras where you say colors and you do these things and all this stuff, I found out that in our civilization, what we really need is the following mantra. Whenever you're starting to do anything that makes you feel bad, repeat the mantra, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up until you stop. Because if you're saying shut the fuck up, eventually whatever you were talking about, you'll forget. Now, I just read in a national magazine, I think this is really cool, that Pamela Anderson, right, who's having all these problems, you know, with her boyfriend, that guy that shoots cocaine in his penis and gets a little out of his mind. How do you get kicked out of Guns N' Roses? Think about that. A guy got kicked out of Guns N' Roses. What do you have to do to get kicked out of that band? The three guys were going, well, you know, we're appalled by his behavior. And I mean, excuse me. I mean, these are guys before they go on the stage that shoot cocaine in their penis. I don't know about you, but when I see a big needle and I look at my, I go, well, I don't think I'm going to be doing that. But these guys go, wow, man, you can get really high. You know. And then they start taking drugs. I mean, these are guys that defecate into their amplifiers and stuff. And so what exactly do you have to do to get kicked out of this band? I don't know. I mean, what did he do? Set the table before dinner or something? Oh, no! Silverware! Get out, you scum! It's a strange world. There are different ethics in different cultures, and, you know, it changes from place to place. For example, I went to Australia, and I was very offended because the mayor of my city had been killed. And one of the things, this guy walked in and went, shot Moscone, and shot him because he was pissed off because there was a gay supervisor, and he wasn't going to let no queers run his city. So he went in and shot them. And his defense was that, you know those Hostess Twinkie cakes? He said he ate too many Hostess Twinkies, got sugared up, and lost his mind. So he only got manslaughter, and I thought, but of course he committed suicide 2 days after he got out of jail. I believe he shot himself from 100 yards away or something, you know, whatever it was that Moscone was an Italian and it didn't work out. But right after it happened, I went to Australia and I was kind of offended, and I said to this audience that this guy had, his defense was that he ate too many Twinkies, and the entire audience started laughing. And I didn't see anything funny about this till I found out the slang word for a woman's genitals in Australia is Twinkie. So they didn't hear the same thing I did. And say, Your Honor, I ate too much pussy that day and I just went out of my mind and had to kill a gay person. I don't know exactly how the universe balances that out. But if you guys, just think about it, you know, you can go in and question your manhood, or every time you start to question things, because guys go, they see a beautiful woman across the room and they go, she'll never like me. Right? And then they imagine going across the room and everybody getting silent and the woman looking at them and spitting on their face. That's to get in the mood, you know? But if instead of doing that, you know, you just say the mantra, shut the fuck up. Right? And don't say just do it, because that has other implications. You know, because sometimes you're going to be in the wrong situation to be saying just do it, you know. For example, I noticed on the top of a rooftop building, right, I was in London and we went up on the roof gardens, and there was a big billboard up there, right, advertising an American TV show they're going to play over there called 21 Jump in giant letters Street. Excuse me, but I don't think that's good advertising. I have trouble with that. But this is good advertising. When, because we're going to take a break in a moment. If you go in the restroom, when you hit that zipper, every time you pull it down, I want you to hear. Turn it up. Hey, you have memorized McDonald's commercials. You're driving down the road going, you deserve a break today? You sing Coke commercials, right? You know, all these commercials play in your head. You have a tape recorder that plays this stuff. It's the one that keeps repeating all the shit you don't want to hear, right? Now, what you need to do is to do, because what Leslie LeCron had this guy do, he said, I want you to go in the control room in your mind, right? Open the door, go in. Are you in? And the guy went, and he said, now, see the switch that says pain. And he said, turn it off. And he went and had these teeth ripped out. So, of course, the minute the guy left, I walked over to him and I said, what other switches are in there? This is the God's truth. He looked at me and he said, there aren't any other switches. Well, I already had other switches. For example, there was the erection switch. Right? It was a big knob. Right? Big analog. I like those analog things, but I like pinball machines, not computer games, you know, and it's like, and then I put one in there for adrenaline, right? Because adrenaline is the best drug, you know. When, see, a lot of people get up, and I have to admit, my daughter is a pusher. She works for Starbucks. I give her a bad time about that, because I said, all these years I've worked, and you become a drug dealer. 70% of the people on the face of the earth are hooked on coffee, and as far as drug goes, it sucks. You know, I mean, you know, after you take it, then you get immune to it. You have to take more, and it's got acid in there. At least if you're going to drink coffee, drop an ice cube in it, let it go to the bottom, and don't stir it, and all the acid will drop to the bottom. That's just modern chemistry, guys. And then, you know, when you drink it down and leave about that much in the bottom, and you won't have to drink the acid. That way you won't get stomach problems. Oh, the other thing is you know, people say, you're an atheist. That's not true. I believe in gods, but I believe in lots of them. All kinds of them, and I believe that they're more intelligent than we give them credit for. For example, think about this design. They put the nose over the mouth rather than over your ass so that you would know what's going in rather than what's coming out. Everybody I know with digestive problems and stomach problems, every single one of them, does not smell their food. I would sit down with them, and I'd just cook them lunch, you know, and they'd go, well, I can't eat this stuff. This stuff's too spicy. And they'd go, hold their breath, put the food in their mouth, right? And that's not how it works. See, have you ever noticed when there's food around and you smell it even from the next room, you begin, your saliva changes? Right? Well, the reason it's here is the olfactory system has direct cortical projections. It's not, it has no think-a-do stuff. Not like the eyes, you know, because you don't really see. You make it up. The photons are dancing all over the place, right? And the photons do not go into your brain. They hit the eye, convert it to electrical energy, where you send impulses and figure out what must be there. For example, okay, this stuff that's blue, right? Okay, when you get paint, right, and you paint it on there, it absorbs all of the photons that are blue. So when you see blue, it's the only thing that's not there. So you're seeing what isn't there, not what is there. But you convert it into something so that you know what it is. Put on glasses that turn the world upside down. 2 days from now, the world will be righted again. When you take them off, then it's upside down again. And it takes a day or two to adjust. Your brain does all of this. That's good, because that means you can learn to adjust. So if instead of going, she'll never like me, going to feel different, and you can take all that therapy money and go somewhere and have a good time. That's what I tell my clients, because the first thing I want to know is, what are they going to do with the extra time? Otherwise they make up more problems. They go, well, but you know, and I go, shut up, go inside and tell yourself that repeatedly, because you need to be able to first reduce your fear. What we're going to do, but I think we should take a little break here. I get rattling on sometimes. But see, they set hours for things, and I don't work that way. You guys eat when I'm hungry. And that can be a long time. But I tell you what, let's take do you have coffee or something for him? How does this work here? I beg your pardon? Yes. Okay. Don't complicate it. Just, this is yes, this is no. Okay. Remember, I only respond to the hypnotic. Either that or finger signals, one or the other. That's right. And you go, now. I say, do you want to get younger, or do you want to live every instant in an ever-increasing pain and agony? That's how I age regress people. See, to me, I like the choices to be clear. It's the unclearness with which people live by which they suffer, right? It's like when they're doing one thing, you know, see, for example, I know that there are people, married people, who cannot look at their spouse and say, hey, what do you say we get naked and fuck, right? And instead, instead they go, well, the TV's on and maybe she's not in a good mood. And suddenly she's asleep. And they go, should I wake her up, Molly? Shut the fuck up. Okay? If you shut the fuck up, if you ask, you may be very surprised. Because she's probably laying there going, why doesn't he love me anymore? And if you guys could put the inside voice, it's on the outside. The worst that could happen is she'll say, you dirty bastard. And you can say, yes. You'd be surprised. I've taught some of the purest people in the world to be as disgusting as I am. But you know what? They were a lot happier. See, because once you can do things, the world turns into a fun place. You can ask questions about anything. Right? For example, I was walking down the street in Hollywood, and people were doing an exercise that was going to take some time. And I went by this little store on Sunset, and it had a thing in the window, which was had an electrical device, and then it had a long thing, pin about that long, and it said on the side of the box, penile stimulator. And I thought, gee, I need to know about this. So I walked in, and there was a great big guy in there. He had this huge 6 feet tall, and he had tattoos like 666 across his, you know, shaven head and skulls and everything. And I walked up to him, and I said, that thing in the window, that penile stimulator thing with the electrical current, does that really put electrical current through somebody's penis? And the guy looked at me and he went, yes. And I thought, gee, we could use this in workshops, you know. There are a lot of people that, you know, aren't getting my point. This might help. And I said, could I try this on a few people just randomly out here on the street? And the guy looked at me and he said, you want a what? And I said, just want to borrow it for a minute and see if I can, you know, use it to motivate people. And the guy said, you're kidding. And I went, I never kid. So he went, handed me the thing like this, and he stood in the doorway, and I walked out, and I said, excuse me, sir. Could I have a moment of your time? Well, he had on this black dress with a white collar, you know. I said, I just have something I'd like you to try here. We have some new products lines that are out, and you just seem like the kind of guy that, well, could use a little stimulation, you know. Well, gee, when I pulled out the box and said, just step around the corner here, sir. I said, let me give you a free demonstration. And he went, certainly. And I said, you pervert, get out of here. Well, you know, they're walking around in a dress anyway. What do you expect? I mean, see, it used to be that you could wear robes. People walked around and looked elegant. But now we've made it so that we have rigid, rigid dress codes on the earth. Right? I mean, if you go to Scotland, you can wear kilt. But, you know, if you wear a dress, you're a bad person. And I've never understood, because we have lots of cross-dressers in San Francisco. Some of them could use a few beauty lessons. But, I mean, if you are going to wear a chiffon dress, I think you should shave your legs. I mean, there should be some kind of a law about that. But the idea that people travel for hundreds of miles to beat up a cross-dresser, well, this seems like that just protests a little too much to me, you know. That I used to do training, martial arts training with the Pink Panthers. That's the gays, they were getting beat up, so they formed little squads. And I introduced them to my favorite thing, the U.S. Steel Company, known as, Mr. Gun, Mrs. Knife, and little baby brother, the razor blade. And, of course, my favorite, the steel baseball bat. There's something about a steel baseball bat when you're communicating with people that makes it so that there's no things when people drive by in cars and jump out and go, we're going to beat the shit out of you. You know what? They're always in clothes designed by a gay person, a car designed by a gay person, playing music by somebody who's gay in the car. And so I thought, well, as long as they're going to have all that gay stuff, what we need to do is to introduce them to something. So I always thought, what we'll do is we'll handcuff their ankles and their wrists together, strip them naked, paint a bullseye on their ass, and drop them off in a prison yard. Just put them in the back of a truck with a catapult. Launch them in. Don't go through the trial. Just give them a quick visit, you know? And we got in trouble for doing that, you know? Apparently, the judge said there is no law against this specifically. But what did they call it? They said it was illegal detainment, right? And I said, well, we didn't really detain them. They could walk, just not really fast. We were just trying to be helpful, really. I mean, we wanted them to see the evils of their ways. There's not really a reason to beat somebody up because they want to look prettier. I mean, it seems to me to be a little twisted. Hey, you, you're trying to look prettier. We're going to have to beat you up. Makes me wonder, because if you're going to wear a dress and look prettier and I can't, it's just not fair. I mean, I don't know what the story is, but it strikes me as a little overzealous. I don't care. I grew up, and my policy is if they're gay, that just leaves more women for me. You know, I never had a problem with that. Now that I'm married, my wife has a problem with it, but, you know. And you have to be careful in San Francisco, because there's always people coming out for business meetings and then calling me later that night going, Richard, I'm in my hotel room. I met this nice woman, but she's standing up in the bathroom peeing. What should I do? And I said, well, I'd either send her home or else change your lifestyle. And this is going to be a big change. Now, I tell you what, let's take a 20-minute break, and then when we come back in, I have a little something I want to do is see if we can, because a lot of you people are too afraid, and you get these gut things that stop you from doing something, and you learn to do it, and you have the idea that you can talk this away, and you don't even need to do that. It's easier. You just need to know how to go in and change your feelings, to redesign them, because you have feelings you don't like. You're the one that's doing it. You know, they're not there all the time. You have to make them. And you go, well, but I can't stop myself. Well, you don't have to. All you have to do is do something else. And it'll be easier than you suspect. It's a new thing that I've been doing. I decided people are screwed up, so I'm going to screw you up in a different way. You'll like it. This one, where you used to avoid fear, you're going to develop a fetish for it because you're going to eat it for breakfast. But go ahead, take 20 minutes, get a little oxygen, walk around, and meet me back here in the middle of somewhere. Count to 10, don't kill anyone. Okay. Now, one of the differences in when you learn NLP, you learn to get somebody else's strategy. One of the problems that I found with this is having elicited now thousands of strategies from people who are experts at things, they all seem to have something in common, which is it's good for what it does, but it fucks up the rest of their life. And I was dissatisfied with that, and I thought we could do something more generative. Because even though people have a good strategy for something, it doesn't mean that it's fun. Can we turn off the wind tunnel for a little while? I don't know about other people, but We'll get hot, and then when we get really hot, then we'll cool it off or something. But since it's right here, good place to put the stage, huh? This thing above me is going, all right, we'll negatively hallucinate it. These hotels don't always give you the choice of turning things off. They go, in order to turn it off, we have to turn off all the power in the entire hotel. Secrets. That's one of the problems that I've worked on lots and lots of projects where they had things that weren't working well. For example, the machine that does eye laser surgery, that I was very, very good at streamlining programs. I used to be able to go in and take huge programs and write them out as two or three lines of code, and they could never understand it. But see, I don't think of machines as being alive. And so I think of them as what the hardware does, so I usually make it do something. And when you read the programming language, it doesn't make any sense. But like when you program in a language and you give the command run, it doesn't mean run. You know, the machine does not get up and take off. And it doesn't even mean run the program. It means zero all variables. That's what it means. So that anytime you're in a program and you want to zero all the variables, you just stick a run command in there and off it goes. But if you get way into the machine language, it's not going to do what we want, is it? Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. See, I just need a little quiet while we do this because I don't want to do this wrong. Someone might get hurt. Oh, okay. It's off. It just still makes the same noise while it's off. Mm-hmm. That's right. It goes like this. It's at, you know, I said, so are you content with the way your life is? Yes, I'm happy. Everything is fine. What are you talking about? There's no problem. You know, I could feel fine if everybody would behave the way I wanted them to. Then I'd be happy. You know, there are a lot of people that believe that. Most people believe that they will feel good if certain things happen. There are people that think if people admired me, then I'd feel good. But they don't realize it wouldn't matter what happened. They're picking the method to get where they want to go, and they're skipping over the most obvious thing in the world, which is if you make decisions when you feel bad, you will make bad decisions. The trick is you have to learn to feel good for no reason. Now, most of you, stop and think for a minute. In your life experience, on the average, as the days go by in an average week, how many absolutely overwhelming, exquisite feelings do you have? And if you can count them on one hand, that's not enough. If you can count them on two hands, that's not enough. Now, this is not about what you did in your life. It's not about whether you were born rich or poor. This is not about where you were born on the planet. This is about lack of practice. This is about just fucking not doing it. I like to explain to people, my concept is you are your own bartender. That basically for you to get angry, you have to go into the chemical plant, mix up all the chemicals to generate the body sensations to be angry. And I know people, they come in and they go, I'm angry all the time. And I go, well, stop it. And they go, I can't. Now, that means I cannot do it. It doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means that it's automated. It's a habitual pattern of behavior. Just like when you walk up to people that you haven't met before and you go, so, your name's Jake. My name's Richard. See how the hand came out? He didn't have to go, what is this gesture from the human? Oh, I must respond in kind. Let's see, how is the hand moved? We've got to find the nervous circuits. Lift the hand up. Now, I see hypnotists do this all the time. And your hand is getting lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. Right? And I like to do this. You see, if you want to do hypnosis and you want somebody's hand to be up, go like this. And go, your hand is up. See how easy that is? If you want somebody to close their eyes, go close your eyes. Right? Now, only let your hand go down at the rate and speed that you begin to get a wonderful sensation. Let it start to flow down your arm. And what I want it to do is go down your arm, And when it starts to build up and get as strong as it can be, I want you to realize this is nothing. I want you to take it and then begin to let it build up right here. Go. Now I want you to double it. Now double it again. Double it again. Double it again. And say inside your head, yee-haw. That's right. Now, let it start to spin from here all the way around and start to go. Spin it around. And while it's spinning around, making that wonderful feeling, I want you to begin to slowly let a picture open up of something that used to make you feel bad, that was stupid. Somebody who is superior to you that used to feel inferior to you, but keep the feeling going. And say the mantra inside your head. That was fucking stupid. This is what I refer to as brief therapy. Takes about 30 fucking seconds. Then start to spin it around even stronger. And as it begins to get wildly strong, I want you to realize this is step one. Right? And to realize that it reaches a certain point, it's going to explode into a whole new wonderful feeling that'll start from your toes and your fingers and all over. And suddenly you're going to think of a time in your life where you're missing enjoying yourself. Like when you walk in the door and you first see your kids, instead of going, well, it's dirty and, rah, 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 and all that shit. Or when you walk in and you see your girlfriend or your wife or whoever, and instead of thinking about how much joy you could experience, you start to think about every other fucking thing, which is stupid. I know women who walk in and they see their husband's clothes on the floor and they go, that dirty slob, instead of he's naked. Because I'll tell you, every time you find clothes on the floor, you jump that motherfucker, man. He'll start putting them in the basket. He'll hang them up in the doorway. That's right. Spin it up, and then I want you to say inside your mind, each and every time I start to miss a good feeling, suddenly I'm going to hear, and I'm going to remember, and I want your unconscious to answer yes if it understands. Because installation in this is something where we, that's right, where we only accept success. I don't like no fingers. People use them. And the only thing I want to know is if your unconscious will take responsibility now for every time. That's right, I understand. That's right. Now what I want your unconscious then to do is to go and pick an exquisite feeling that you haven't had in years that's so delightful that you should never have forgotten about it, because you're going to start having it all the time again, times two, times two. And when it's ready, I want it to give me a yes signal and slam you with it. That's right. Bam. Boop. Now, when you're ready, I want you to let your hand go down only at the rate and speed that this stays with you just for the rest of your life. And every day, I want you to make at least two new good feelings. That's right. Now, because if you begin to spend so much of your day feeling exquisite, two things will surely happen. You will get healthier and smarter. Because the worse you feel, the stupider you are. This I can guarantee you. Every genius I have met, and I met most of them in the last generation, because I had this cool job. Once they found out that I did modeling, which I also made up, the three universals of human modeling. Where did they come from? Me. That's why I quoted them all the time. Hey, I saw what science did. I knew the scams they were running. I just did the same. One time there was just philosophy. And then they started making other fields, biology, this and that. And I went, well, if people can make up fields, I ought to be able to. Because they said, I'm sorry, Richard, you can't go work with schizophrenics. You don't have the proper licenses. And I go, well, wait a minute. I don't need a license. I'm a neuro-linguistic programmer. And they go, what's that? And I go, well, we don't have people tell us their history. We don't take case histories. And we don't cure anybody of anything. We do a small amount of education. Period. See, I don't believe anybody's broken. I think that's total nonsense. That psychiatrists used to bring me their patients and tell me that they knew that I probably could cure them, but they didn't want me to. Because they were writing a paper about them. More concerned with their prestige than anything. And they said, we had two strengths. They brought in this poor woman, and they said, now, you have to promise us that you won't do anything to change her. And I went, I promise. Trust me. And they said, you know, they said, we want to make sure that all the symptoms are intact when she leaves. And I said, so when she's gone, they want the symptoms intact. Okay, I can do this. So what they did is they told me this woman had a complete psychotic episodes at the sound of gum chewing. Somebody would go, and we're talking down on the floor, writhing, man, screaming the whole thing. Hebephrenic attacks, right? Way cool, way better than a phobia. Okay, now, Dr. One's theory, because I said, so you guys have written papers about that. I said, so how come you can't fix it? And they went, no, it's much more complicated than that. And I said, well, so what's the deal? And he said, well, I disagree with my colleague. My colleague believes that this is all because she walked in on her parents having sex. And this created a complex. And I went, cool. So in cultures in the world where people are just too poor to have a lot of rooms and people are around people fucking all the time, they all have complexes and they all have this disease, right? And they went, well, no. And I said, so this is just her. And they said, well, it's infinitely more complex. And he said, I disagree with my colleagues. I believe that she is stuck at the breastfeeding developmental stage. And I said, well, how do you know that? And he looked at me triumphantly and said, because there are fish in her dreams. And I said, obviously not as of sharks, though. So I said, okay. I could say they just wanted me to hypnotize her and find out the etiology, the root cause of the problem. And as far as I could tell, the root cause of the problem was that she had two psychiatrists. Maybe they didn't start it, but however this came about. Now, I put her into a very deep trance and set up finger signals and told her, I said, look, I want you to go back to where this started, and I want you to recall it in detail. And I said, I'm going to say the number 50, and I want you to stand up and tell me exactly what it is and sit down and have total amnesia for it. Now, 50. She stood up and told me about when she was a little girl, her dad took her on a ski lift, and he really wanted a boy, but, you know, he said that he used to call her his little man. I'm sure that's good for girls. And took her, and he didn't want her to be afraid, so he grabbed her by the foot and held her out off the ski lift like that. But, of course, he chewed tobacco. She wasn't afraid of heights. She closed her eyes, but all she could hear is him smacking tobacco, you know. So the sound got associated with the fear, and years later, when she heard that sound, it began to generalize. That's called learning. However, while I was doing the trance work, I could not resist mentioning the theories of the doctors and looking at them. And you know this thing about trance, it goes everywhere. I can point my head here, but guess what? The sound's everywhere. So as I would do it, as soon as she closed her eyes, I turned around and looked at the psychiatrist and said, and your doctor believes that being stuck at the breastfeeding developmental stage makes this sound something that when you hear it, you will have fear. And the doctor went. And I went, that's right. So she came out of the trance, and I pulled out a stick of juicy fruit, began to chew on it, and the two shrinks fell on the floor and started writhing around. So we never did get those papers, I'm afraid. They started pleading with me. They said, well, this is some kind of a hypnotic trick. And I went, hypnosis does not exist. So therefore, I cannot be doing it to you now. You'll like this. You'll like this. I have they bring me this guy. The psychiatrist brings me this guy. And he brings him in and puts him down like he's a piece of meat. He just takes him in and he goes, you sit down in the chair. And he looks at me and he goes, well, I've heard that you're supposed to be such a big hypnotist. He said, well, he said, this guy's got hysterical paralysis in his leg. And his leg looks like shit, to tell you the truth. It didn't look hysterical to me at all. I mean, he walked in like this, you know, and he sat down, his legs sticking straight out. And, you know, over time, I'm sure this is atrophied. He said, we've done every neurological test. He said, I want you to see if you can hypnotize this guy. And he said, and make it so that, you know, that this paralysis is not in his leg. You guys are beginning to think like me, aren't you? And I went, so it's not in his leg, okay? All right, so that's what you want me to do, right? And he went, that's right. So I looked at the guy and I said, are you tired of having the paralysis in your leg? And the guy says, oh, you don't know what kind of a problem it's been. And the psychiatrist says to me, what about secondary gain? And I said, well, whatever you want. I said, I'm sure it will serve you well. So I said, now what we're going to do with this paralysis is we're going to change everything, because I know that you know, that doctors are not always right about whether these things are physical or mental, and I don't think you have many physical problems if you don't have any brain. See, I found if you took the brain out of the person, all the physical symptoms disappear just like that. You know, this is done, by the way, with an ice cream scoop. They are always asking me about the mind-body split, and I'm always telling them, well, we could try it. I've got a knife. You know, they shut up when I do that. I always like to go, and pull out a switchblade, and they go, ah! Right? They never look and see it's a comb. Never. You know. They hallucinate, and that's because they hallucinate in these chairs too much. And if they'd looked at the guy, it was obviously in his fucking leg. But, you know, the leg is connected to the entire person, which is connected to the nervous system. And we have found out over the years things like these little bracelets that you get if you have arthritis. Golfers always have them. You ever see them? They have the little copper bracelets because they're really good for arthritis. And for years, people said, well, oh, that's shit. That's, you know, it's a bomb. It's, you know, it's an old wives' tale. Well, I'll tell you, you know, having an old wife doesn't mean she's stupid. You know, as it turns out, the skin is, well, being the largest organ on the body, is pretty perceptive. And it turns out that if you have a copper deficiency, that you end up having pain and arthritis. And if you put copper on the skin, the skin has a tendency to keep more copper in it, so that any kind of a deficiency now we've noticed that some people have a deficiency of certain minerals, that if we give that mineral and have them put it on their skin, right, that the body will retain more of it. It doesn't suck it through the skin. They just, in their regular diet, you know, it's like you're saying to the skin, do this. Now, I found out, like, these rolfers, you know, these saddest guys, you know, the S&M rolfers. Somebody rolfed me, but only once, you know. To me, they put your muscles in a really horrible position, and then they go like that. Does this hurt? You bet it does. Does this hurt? Yeah, you bet it does. To me, see, if you know how muscles work because the skin tells them what to do. When we shook hands, his hand knew when it was done and changed from the extenders, the excisors, because of the surface of the skin, not because of anything else. When you pick up a glass, it's touching the glass, having your arm at full extension, that tells it to relax. So literally, you can take the skin and instruct the muscles to relax. You take an arm, and you just hold like this and go, pull the skin to full extension, slap the hand, and every muscle in it will relax. You don't have to do any of this stuff. And literally, you can put your hand on any part of the body where there's tight. A lot of people call it the tension in the shoulder. Put your hand over it, just cover the skin, and don't press, just tighten your own hand. And then start to relax. If the muscle relax, relax more. It tightens up, tighten it, and relax. Because it's a matter of feedback. Whenever you have tension, it gets inflamed, and it's not getting the messages. Once you give the skin the message, relax, bam, it relaxes. Now, this means that you can deliver messages to the skin, even to the degree of paralysis. So I looked at this guy, and I said, are you tired of this? He said, yeah. I said, good. And I walked over to him, and I said, give me your hand. And I went, look at your hand. Notice the changing focus of your eyes. Take a deep breath, relax, and when your hand touches your face, I want you to just drop into a deep trance. Like I said, I'm not a patient man. Then what I want you to do is to begin to feel good right here. That's right. Take a good feeling right there. Your unconscious knows what I'm talking about. Take a deep breath and let it spread. And I said, a good feeling. My standards are higher than yours. That's right. There you go. That's, we're headed in the right direction now. Double it, double it, double it. Yeehaw. That's right. Fill it up. Let it fill your whole body and begin to get wildly. When it feels really good, then I want you to stop and answer the following question. Because in a minute, you're going to come back to this good feeling and you're going to need it. So just let it build up so it gets really strong. Because then I want you to think of some time where you become afraid, you get a gut knot thing in your stomach, and you don't act the way you want to. Because that's just programming from when you were a kid. To unprogram it, you only need to answer the following question. I want each of you to answer it. When you get that thing in your stomach that stops you from doing things, which way is it moving? Nothing holds still in human beings. So if you pay attention, it'll either be rotating forward or rotating back. Think about it. You're a bag of water. When you look in the sink, there's water in it. It knows which way to go, right? Now, you're on this planet going through the universe, man, 65,000 miles an hour, spinning around 25,000 miles an hour. Water is intelligent enough to know which way to go down the drain. Do you know where you are on the earth and which way it's turning? Now, if you can take that fear and not act, if you go back and remember the last time you were afraid, you can get the feeling of which direction it's moving in. Whichever way it's spinning right now, for no reason, I want you to turn it the other way around. The way you do this is if it's spinning forward, right, pull it out of yourself, turn it around and pull it back in. If it's spinning counterclockwise, right, just in your mind, pull it out, turn it upside down, pull it back in, and you'll find that what happens is whatever you were afraid of, suddenly you will begin to get stronger. And if you take a moment and do it with your own body sensations, can't do it till you know which way it's going. As soon as you know where the fear is and how it moves, then what you do is you stop and literally deliberately make it go the other way. Remember, this is your brain, it's your body, it belongs to you. You are not a victim of the universe, you are the universe. As soon as you start to move it the other way, pay attention to a point below each eye, and suddenly you will feel determined. I don't have to know why, I just know it's there. I'm just a person who finds things. And just below each of your eyes, if you focus your consciousness there and turn it in the opposite direction, suddenly the very same thing that you're thinking about that made you feel afraid is going to make you feel stronger. It's weird, but it works. Now, what this means is all you have to do now is to get a little creative. In his case, I want you to now mix into this just that good feeling. So that not only do you get stronger, you begin to enjoy it. Because if you enjoy getting stronger, if you don't have to overcome stress, if you don't have to stand up for yourself, but you're just fucking having a good time, then you'll do something about it. Because it's the struggle that you don't need. See, the struggle is against just creating old body sensations. First thing you do is you turn it around the other way. Then what you do is you add a little music. Maybe those horns, the fanfare. I like scary music. Because I'm going to become scary. I like to hear a voice in the back of my head that goes, do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do, do-do-do. You guys see Jaws? I made so much money off that film, you wouldn't believe it. People had phobias of going in their shower in Kansas. And I'm the only guy in the country that's got a cure for phobias. I had them lined up by the hundreds. I literally did groups, right, 1,000 people at a time. Every one of them had water. They wouldn't go in lakes. These people wouldn't get in their bathtub. They saw that movie. It was one of the greatest pieces of phobia installation there ever was. Company's doing $30 million a year. Company that hired me, by the way, was doing $30 million a year. And the year after Jaws came out, they did $100,000 in sales. That's not good. $30 million to $100,000. I mean, they were in bankruptcy. But all it took was for somebody to say, hey, people always say, you know, you can turn that around. Think about this one. Accessing cues, downright important. People access feelings, they look down and to the right. Downright important. Now, where were all the psychologists? I found all this stuff. Where were they? They were observing people. Oh, you crossed your arms and legs. You're closed to new ideas. I guess that's why so many of these ideas were really asshole ideas. Now, what I want you to do is to take this hand, right? And I want you to realize, any time you start to feel right or bad, your hand is going to go, and you can reconsider whether or not you want to feel bad. It doesn't mean you don't yell at people who deserve it, but there's no reason why you should feel bad when somebody does something to you. I went in a store to bring back a brand new thing. I bought something. I brought it back because it didn't work. And it had a warranty, and they said, well, that's against it breaking, not against not working to begin with. And I felt my blood pressure start to rise. I went, wait a minute, I'm not going to make myself sick. I went, pff, pff. I said, I didn't get your name. So that's okay. They felt right. They felt like they were clever. And now they're in deep trouble. I don't know how they're going to get that rash off their face. Because I kept saying, well, you know, we could be irritated, but we need to face up to this now, you know? That, well, this could be a blemish in your career. In fact, a whole lot of them. Now. And suddenly their face went, I said, aha, your unconscious knows you're a crook. See, if people's unconscious don't like them, it'll do anything you say. It's really true. People always ask me, they go, well, I have low self-esteem. What should I do? And I said, something good. If you do the right thing for the right reason, you will always feel fine. If somebody drops their groceries and you help pick them up, rather than pick them up so other people can see you helping them, you will always feel good. All you have to do is the simplest stuff, get rid of all the bullshit. But that means you need to shut up long enough to say something worthwhile and in good tonality. Those of you, how many of you in here talk to yourself in bad tonality? Most everybody does. I did it for years. Until I realized that, you know, that was pretty stupid. Because if you can make any voice in your head, try this, exactly the same stuff, self-criticism. Pull out the self-criticism voice and start to criticize the shit out of yourself. Only this time, what I want you to do is to turn the volume way down and then turn it back up in the sexiest voice you've ever heard. So it'll go, you dirty piece of shit. You'll never learn anything. You never do anything right. Doesn't feel so bad that way, does it? Plus, you can actually hear. You might take some of the advice. To me, once you start realizing that if you constantly do this and practice it, see, this isn't something you learn just because you hear it, because you know about it. You have to actually do it. So when you start to talk to yourself, even at lunch today, if you go in and you go, and I didn't pay this, and I should have learned, and I didn't take any notes. Well, good for you, because if you had, you'd have got hurt. See, I don't understand people. They take notes, you know, and I say to them, forget the number 416. Have you forgotten it? If you can't forget a small number, how are you going to forget a whole workshop? And besides, your conscious mind is not really what I'm interested in. I'm interested in something so that from this day forward, you begin to say, look, if I'm walking down the street, play music that's lively, and you'll feel lively. If you begin to practice shining, see, people act like this stuff. There are people who are shinier than other people. You look at them, and they're smiling, and their face is pretty, and they look alive, and you go, I wish I was happy. Son of a bitch, but you know, when I was 5 years old, I didn't get that pony I wanted. You know, and nobody ever appreciates me. And then they make pictures of everybody who rejected them in their life. And they relive all kinds of trauma. And then they go to therapy and whine about it to other people, you know. And my policy is I don't want to hear that crap. You know, excuse me, you're not 5 years old. And if you need a pony now, go to Tijuana. let's leave the animals out of it, okay? You know, because animals are pretty smart. Dogs don't have any trouble fucking. You know, they go, hey, you, bitch, get over here. You know, but then I have all these guys come in and they go, well, you know, I'm having trouble being with my wife. And I go, why, is she slippery? And they go, well, you know, sexually. And I go, no, I don't know. I'm not that kind of guy. I says, I, you know, the only trouble I had was finding the right wife. That is one thing you don't want to do is marry the wrong person for the wrong reasons. You know, the thing is that cleaned up my decision strategies, let me tell you. There's something like losing $6 million in 2 months that'll do that to you. straighten you right out. Makes you very careful. That's why the next time I went out on like 10,000 dates, right, and made sure. And sometimes, and the minute I found out it wasn't going to work, I left. I would go, excuse me, I have to go get a pack of cigarettes. I'd run into them 3 years later, and they go, we were having lunch. You went out for cigarettes. I go, oh, that's what it was. I'll be right back. Do not waste your time. It's no fun. Now, how many of you tried this, taking your fear and spinning it around the other way and found that it makes you feel differently? You spun it the other way, it didn't make you feel differently? Come on. I've done this before. You spun it the other way, and you still feel the same way? I like the way he says, I feel different, and you can't make me be the same. Okay, you just go ahead and stay different then. See if I care. But I want to know, if you don't cry, and you don't blobber, and you don't get snot all over the stuff, and you don't beat up a pillow, then how are we going to get at the root causes? Okay, let me back up here. A couple things I need to mention. There I am in the front row, Louise Parker. And I raised my hand and I said, well, I said, so you understand Richard Bandler's work. You know him well. And the guy said, well, absolutely. We're just like this. That's the signal I always used when I was lying. And I said, well, good. I said, you know how to work with phobias then? And he said, oh, absolutely. And I said, well, I have a phobia of making pictures of myself. That's how we do the big phobia cure. You know, you see yourself in there. So I said, can you help me with that? And he went. And I said, hold that thought. I love that phrase. I think that's so cool. You just wait to the right minute, you know, when you see them do it inside their head where they go, you'll hold that thought for the rest of your life. What little there is of it. And so I got up and I walked up and he said, I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. And I said, the name's Louise. Louise Parker. You guys will like this. I've told this story many, many times, but I was just in Europe and I did a trainer's training. And in the trainer's training, I told them about this because I couldn't believe what a dickhead this guy was. And I kept asking him more and more questions. I go, did you go over his house? And he said, oh, yeah, I went over his house. And I said, because I've heard all kinds of things about the dungeon he had there. And the guy said, well, I didn't go down into the dungeon. And he said, but, you know, I did see pictures of it. Yeah, right. Like I had a dungeon, like I needed a dungeon. Most people live in a dungeon every day when they walk around. You want people to suffer? All you have to do is amplify what they're already doing. You know, when I want people to suffer, here this person, are they just sitting there? They're not going to take back a product that's broken, out in the box, it doesn't work. I plugged it in and no electricity was going into it. There was some reason I turned the switch on and no power came. Put it back in the box, took it back, and they said, well, you know, if it had broken, it'd be different, but I can't send it in saying it never worked. And I looked at the person and I said, well, you know, this is really a problem. I said, but you understand problems, don't you? And they went, oh, yeah, you wouldn't know what I go through here. I said, some days are just total shit, aren't they? And he went, oh, yeah. And I said, yeah, hold that thought. I said, now double the size of it. And he said, what do you mean? And I went, because you see, they're really making pictures in their head. And you can make them bigger if you want, right? You can do all kinds of things. You can make them bigger and brighter because they don't know about this. You just tell them, yeah, take that thought, double it, make it bigger, make it brighter. Make it so dragons are chasing you. And they'll go, ah! It's amazing what you can do, because most people do not have any control over their internal or external processes. When people are talking to one another, I love this. Eye contact, excuse me. Where does that come from? The Three Stooges? I like that. They ask you questions. When you look away to see the answer, they go, ah, what are you avoiding? How's that for a double fucking bind? They ask you a question, you go to think about it, and then they tell you you're avoiding getting the answer before you can get it. They make you crazy because they have theories. Theories aren't what... You know what works? If it feels good, keep going that way. If it doesn't, go the other way. So if the way you're doing your feelings scares you, go the other way around. They're your feelings. Now, I know it sounds simple, but... Let's see, what we started at 10. So I see, some of you are probably getting hungry, aren't you?